This morning, I have a question for you. What does it mean to have joy? Be happy, right? What is joy? What's that? You married her, right there. All right. We just need to have her stand up and come up here, right? Sermon's done. Thank you, Ross. So I'd like for you to take a moment here and also to think about, besides Joy herself, is there a person in your life that exemplifies joy for you? And I'd like for you to take just a few moments and talk with your families or your neighbors nearby. Now, don't take too long because the Cowboys game is coming, and as I got in trouble in first service for saying, I believe they're going to lose. So, now that's part of my plan to get the coach replaced with a new coach, but that's okay. All right, so y'all take a couple minutes. What is joy? What's the meaning of joy besides the person of joy here? And who's someone like Joy that exemplifies joy in your life? Just take about 30 seconds to about a minute or two, okay? Okay, I can see y'all all have joy-filled people around y'all because you don't want to stop talking, but I have to stop here for just a second, okay? There's plenty of time that we can talk about this after church. You know, it's funny because the world of sports always gives us those weird references that can sometimes get the preacher in trouble. But sometimes it's really good because as I was thinking about joy, some of the references in my mind that came to kind of the fullest expression of joy is some of those highest moments in sports. I think about the moment that the Olympian wins the gold medal, that they crunch on it while they're on the podium, and then the camera comes up and says, "You're going to be on the Wheaties box, right?" Or, "I'm going to Disney World." Or it's the Super Bowl champions like the Cowboys, right? Or the other people that win. I really mean serious. We did win the championship a lot of times, right? And we'll win again next year. It's probably not this year. I love the Cowboys, okay? All right. This sermon is not about the Cowboys. Go Cubs. All right. Something like that, right? But it's those world championship moments where you're on top of the world. Those are joy-filled moments where the tears are streaming. The athletes are on the Wheaties box and they're saying, "I'm going to Disney World." When I lived in California, it was, "I'm going to Disneyland." For all the Dodgers or the whoever else plays out there. I'm more of a baseball guy than football. But those are definitely moments filled with joy. And they're not ones that all of us experience, but most of us have had the experience of giving birth, either as a mom or as a dad, or as a grandparent, or as a brother or sister or aunt or uncle. And those are mountaintop experiences of joy where the tears are literally flowing down your face. And they're not sad tears. They're tears of joy. But today, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. Because I want to think about some of the more ordinary, the everyday, daily moments of joy. The journey that each of us is on as we head through the season of Advent and then throughout the different seasons in our lives. One of the Psalms that I love that talks directly about this joyful living is Psalm 96. And for me, the German really brings out the extra joy here. And it says, "Singet dem Herrn ein neues Lied." Now, my college choir sang that, and then a lot of English after that. But it always reminded me that this psalm evokes joy. Because you're singing about this joy. The English says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." You see, the psalm writer is encouraging us to come in worship, in praise, and song, and joy before the Lord, knowing the goodness and mercy of God and who he is. This is the kind of joy that I believe we can have on that day-to-day journey. The psalm writer continues to bring in all the creation into this process of singing for joy. It says the sea will roar, the fields will exult, the trees of the forest sing for joy. Ultimately, the whole creation responds to bring this praise back to God, back to its creator. I don't know about you, but it's fun for me to watch this happen in nature, just to sit back and listen. Have y'all ever done that? To hear the leaves rustling? To hear the water lapping in on the coast of the lake, or maybe on the beach at the ocean? To hear the creation singing a song of joy back to God. So when you're singing a song of praise to God, you can be filled with the joy of the Lord. And I think there's a lot of other moments in life where we have those opportunities to be filled with true joy. But there's also those other moments, right? Those things where we might encounter that we might call joy stealers. They might be in the form of something like Eeyore, right? That tends to have a gray cloud hovering over them. This morning when I was getting ready to come into church, it was really foggy and cloudy and kind of yucky outside weather-wise. It's kind of a joy-stealing moment. Sometimes it's when you go into the doctor's office and the test results come back the opposite way than you wanted. Or maybe when you find out that you have another limitation on your life that you didn't realize. Maybe it's in those difficult days you've had with your kids, with your spouse, with your mom and dad. They're trying to steal the joy away from you. Especially during this time, maybe it's in the expectations of this perfect Christmas that has to happen, but just doesn't seem to be possible this year. Or it could be that struggle that you face every day, that you face for a long while that doesn't seem to show any hope except for a little glimpse of light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that these joy-stealing moments can even lead us to question our hope and our faith at times during the season where we tend to see joy expressed more fully all around us as we move through December in the Christmas season. But I think our second lesson in James, if you want to look at it, has some great advice for us in those times when we encounter the joy stealers. You see, James wants to encourage us that the trials, the struggles, the hardships in life and in faith are actually things to help encourage and to strengthen that faith. You see, because they produce perseverance. And then as we continue to develop and use that muscle of perseverance, ultimately it brings maturity, helping us to become complete. The writer of Hebrews says, talking about Jesus, he who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You see, joy is not always in the midst of happy times. Jesus had joy even though he knew the cross was coming. And the journey of joy comes as we're growing in faith, even in some of those moments that may not feel all that wonderful, that may not feel good, when we're in the midst of that trial, that challenge, that painful suffering that we're going through. See, the thing is, God is still working in you in those moments. And I believe the application that James has for us in terms of joy is two different things. First, joy doesn't equal being happy. You can still find joy even though you're not happy. Even if you're in some of those worst moments of your life, you can still find some joy in those moments. And secondly, when we find that we are experiencing one of those tests or those trials, it tends to give us a new perspective about life. Some of the small things that we kind of put in the back of our brain come back to the front to become those important joy-giving people, those important joy-giving experiences, maybe even, as the weather changes throughout the day, a beautiful day that we may not have been able to experience fully and appreciate fully before the trial came. One of my favorite verses is from Paul as he writes in the Philippians chapter 4, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice." There's another verse that he writes similar to it where he says, "Pray continuously." To me, those are hard challenge verses. Because Paul's saying you got to pray always, or you got to always be joyful. How do you do that? The answer is, it's about finding the simple joy in everyday life. The kind that God readily provides as we seek Him in His Word. The kind that He provides as we go to Him in prayer, going to the throne of grace. It's the kind of joy that comes through service, the reaching out and helping other people, using the gifts that God gives uniquely to each one of us. As we go throughout the next couple of weeks, we're continuing to prepare for Christmas. And that definitely is part of the journey for us of joy, as we can go to the source of the joy. You see, because joy ultimately comes to us through the baby in the manger. Joy comes to us through knowing Jesus. It comes from the King of the universe who came into the world as a baby to live for us filled with the joy and love to give us the greatest expression of that love on the cross where He died for your sins, where He died for my sins. And then He rose victoriously on Easter morning where the joy of the world came unbounded, as the Hallelujah chorus started without end to be sung everywhere. We got to sing Joy to the World this morning. And as the Christmas season progresses, hopefully we'll get to sing it again here at church. But it's going to be all over the place. And as we sing that song every year, we remember and celebrate the arrival of the King. The arrival of the baby that changed the entire world forever. The arrival of the baby that gave us life and hope and joy. The kind of joy that renews us every time we hear the story. Every time we go back and hold that newborn baby. And I hope that as you sing that song, maybe this afternoon, maybe later this month, that you'll sing without limit, with joy. Maybe if you're in the car, roll down the windows and sing obnoxiously loud. Doesn't matter how good of singing you're at. Just sing it and enjoy and praise the Lord. You see, the journey of joy is one that we travel during this Advent season. But truly, it continues throughout the year. The writer of the book of Hebrews helps us to understand, in my opinion, what this journey means. When he says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The journey of joy and faith is one that continues to trust in the things that are unseen. It is about coming back to the baby in the manger on a regular basis, to remember the joy that fills us every day of the journey that is coming. I don't know about you, but there's something of a distinct joy that comes from being around a baby, a newborn baby. Do y'all have that too? Yesterday, I got to go to an event, and there was a 10-week-old right next to me for a few, probably 20 minutes. And it was awesome just to be there. Now, there's some folks that really just want to hold every baby they possibly get a chance to. I'm not one of those people. But it's awesome to be right nearby. It's awesome to have that bundle of joy right nearby you to experience the life and the hope and the joy that's there. It's something that, at least for me, we tend to place in the back of our brain, in our memory receptacle. But we don't always remember it because we don't have maybe a baby right in front of us. The majority of y'all don't have an infant at home, right? But it's one of those memories that as soon as you get around one, it comes right back to the front. It comes right back to give you that joy when you have the new life there. So when you go home today, I want you to take a few moments where you can renew your joy. I'm going to give you some homework, okay? You got your pencil and paper out? I'm serious. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so here's the homework. I want you to go home and read the Christmas story. It's in Luke chapter 2. Okay, go home and read it, because I want you to experience the joy of the newborn king. And after you read that story, I want you to think about two questions. The first one is, what would it look like for you to intentionally seek joy in your journey each day this week? Would it mean serving? Would it mean reading the word? Would it mean reading that story every day? Would it mean going in prayer to the throne of grace to be filled up with joy? Would it mean coming into church every day? You're welcome. Come on. What would it mean for you? And the second question is, what would it look like to express more joy for you as you go throughout this week, to your family, to your coworkers, to your friends, and to the community? My hope and prayer is that as you go home today, you'll be filled with the joy of the Lord. My hope and prayer is that the joy of the Lord will shine through you this week to the people that God places in your path, and then through the rest of the Christmas season and the rest of your life. I hope you sing Joy to the World loud and proud as you drive home today. Amen.